We want to welcome back Father Jack Peterson, who was practically an appliance here in the parish for quite a while. And we haven't seen you since before the pandemic began, and we're happy to see that you've come through it. Just fine. It's wonderful to have you here tonight. I also want to acknowledge all the people who are here with us tonight to receive the sacraments of Easter, those who are to be baptized, those who are already baptized who will be received into the Catholic Church, and then all of you who will be confirmed at this Mass this evening. It's a time of really great grace for us, and we are very happy and excited to be here with you this evening to celebrate these sacraments. As we come to the end of Holy Week, it is my prayer that because of our participation in these sacred mysteries of Christ, we are changed. It is possible to live your entire life in the church and do everything right, and as they say, pray, pay, and obey, and never even realize what all of this is truly about. No wonder people are leaving churches, not necessarily faith in Christ, though, interestingly, but churches. The most common reason people give who drift away from an organized community-based practice of faith, we have found, is that they feel they aren't getting anything out of it. Ironically, I believe it is because we are not giving them what they really need and teaching them how truly empowered we are by our baptism and our participation in the liturgy and life of the church. Membership in the church is not determined by the degree of faithfulness. It might surprise you who are coming into the church tonight, we have sinners in the church. The church exists because we are sinners, and our only hope of a remedy to sin is our relationship with God, which is formed and supported by a loving community who witnesses compassion and forgiveness. So many voices speaking today demand either adherence or excommunication. This is not the mind of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who, by the way, became one of us and died for us while we were still sinners. Thank God his requirement was not perfection when he was considering whether or not to care enough to give up his life to become our Passover sacrifice. Please know, any witness you may have encountered or encounter in your experience of the church, which excludes anyone, is not faithful to the Holy Spirit, whose purpose is to bind us together in love and form us into the body of Christ. His work is a work of transformation. He makes of us a new creation. We must follow a path that has no rest stops for judging, discrimination, or abuse. We are a work in progress, to be sure. God begins his work of recreation in us, where we are. I think one reason why many people don't feel like they have a place in the church might be that the experience, like the experience people had of the church before the Second Vatican Council, and I'm afraid many are returning to an understanding of this church that is priest-centered. Pope Francis talks a lot about this clericalism repeatedly as one of the major issues of our day. People would go to church to hear the priest say Mass. That was literally the language we used to use, wasn't it? To go and hear Mass. Do you remember? People are made to feel irrelevant, unengaged, in a vital way. I ask you, does the church gather around the priest or around Christ? When individuals become the focus, we become factions. Thus, deep division and politics creep into the daily life of our church. Vatican II demanded, in place of such clericalism, your full, active, and conscious participation, not centered on the sacrament of holy orders, but rather on the baptism that we all share, the sacrament in which we are anointed to the common priesthood of all the faithful. It is we, the baptized, who call into the present moment the saving mysteries of Christ. It is we who celebrate these mysteries for the salvation of the world. We celebrate these together. Yes, the priest has a particular and special role as the one who presides as head of the body. But the head does not exist without a body, nor could the body exist without a head. That's a whole nother homily, isn't it? What implications does this have for our community when the valid baptism we share extends beyond the walls of the Roman Catholic Church? What does that look like if we call upon the presence of Christ together? I believe if everyone in the church realized their importance, our necessity in this work of salvation, we would realize that we are not here to get anything at all, but to do and to give. Then, of course, receiving everything that God plans to give us anyway. I have another theme I'd like to talk about this evening that we'll come back around at the end. And that is that what Sunday is to the week, Easter is to the year. This was a basic teaching that we learned in seminary. What Sunday is to the week, Easter is to the year. The Lord's Day cannot be contained in the usual 24 hours. It is bigger than normal time. It is bigger than Sunday, because time is transformed in Christ. In the tradition of Judaism, the Sabbath on Saturday begins with the sundown vigil on Friday evening before. Easter Sunday, the mystery of the Lord's Passover, likewise cannot be contained in a normal week, but extends to an octave of 8 days. Created time, chronos, is transformed into kairos, or that eternal moment in which God and all time is. We will celebrate the octave of today until April 11th. In this transformation, the Jewish Sabbath is changed. Jewish Sabbath did not automatically become the Lord's Day. In created time, God worked on creation from the first moment of light, which we heard in the first reading, over millennia. The millennia of creation represents the first 6 days. From the time he was finished with this creation, his seventh day of rest began. Then, following the sin of Adam and Eve, the prophecy of a new order began, the foretelling of the mystery that we celebrate tonight. The Son of Man goes to work on the eighth day to accomplish the restoration, the renewal, the recreation of all things. His is the first day of the week and the eighth day of the week, the Alpha and the Omega. All things begin in him, and in him are fulfilled. And we are the people of this eighth day. Even traditional architecture in the church reveals this mystery. Baptistries were often octagonal in shape, buildings with 8 sides. Baptistries were also places very popular for the celebration of Christian funeral rites. This new eighth day is the eternal moment of God in which we are invited to live the life of grace as new creations from the beginning to the end. Paul Ricoeur wrote, "If the resurrection is resurrection from the dead, then all hope and freedom are in spite of death. We are alive with authentic life. Let us live then as people of hope and freedom and bring this to all who long for it or all those who are prevented from knowing hope and freedom." That is why you cannot let today slip by without notice, without getting the message of why we are here. The God who loves us sinners has provided a remedy by which we have become his new creation. For this reason, we gather today with the renewal of our baptismal promises at the heart of our celebration. So go forth from here now, risen, and live your baptismal call. The words of St. Paul to the people of Ephesus, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." Live so as to give witness to the holy work that God has begun in you and called you to do, to become alive in his sacraments, to go out into the world in service, to be literally the nourishment of his Son's body and blood, the Eucharist, for all those who hunger and desire for God and our unity and welcome.